Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're going to just consider these two on the road to Emmaus. This is resurrection late afternoon, and so much has already taken place and unfolded over this weekend. And we have three little points tonight that will, God willing, will take us through into the Lord's Supper. That they missed the point. These two missed the person. But they didn't miss the opportunity. The Bible says a lot about roads. Even in Wales, if you were to take the A470, that would take you, I believe, all the way from Cardiff, all the way up through Mid Wales, and you'd eventually arrive in Llandudno. I wonder tonight, what road are you walking? These two, late afternoon, Resurrection Day, we're walking on this road to Emmaus. We can only assume that they are heading for home. But what we do know is that one is called Cleopas. We're not sure who the other person is. Some speculate. We're not going to speculate. Don't like speculation. But just to let you know what some of the speculations are. Some think it was Cleopas' wife. We don't know. But what we do know is this. That as they walk that journey to Emmaus, some 7 miles, they're sad. They're downcast. Their hearts are full and filled with despair. It's all over. Jesus brought hope. Perhaps they were there for that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Perhaps they were even involved in waving those palm branches. When it gets particularly warm, that's not a bad thing to do, is it? You see, they missed the point. And it's very possible that we can be sat in our evangelical churches on a Lord's Day evening, Sunday evening, Easter Sunday of all days, in the evening, or watching from home in your armchair. And it's very possible that we too can miss the point. You see, they had a clear understanding of what the Messiah should look like. They had a clear understanding of what they expected. There was an expectation. There was an anticipation. And yet when Jesus died, their hopes died with him. Of course, we know in this passage that Keith read for us that this is the talk of the town. There's nothing else to talk about. There have been reports that Jesus is alive. There have been sightings. There's been angelic testimony. Peculiar things have been going on. Word on the street and on the grapevine. Amongst the Roman soldiers, there's trouble at Mill. They've been paid off. They've done a runner. Dereliction of duty. It's okay, said the Jewish authorities. It's okay. We'll look after you. We've got Pilate in our back pocket. There was a report of an earthquake. The women said, the stone was rolled away. The angel said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. We saw the accounts in John 20 this morning of when Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary went and ran to Peter and to John, and they went, and John wanted us to know that he was quite a sprinter. And they saw. And they saw. And they saw. We saw that this morning, that the first saw was a cursory glance. The second one was a close examination of the evidence of the linen cloth there and the napkin neatly folded. And the third glance from John was one of understanding. And biblical testimony in his testimony was that he believed. We asked that question, what did he believe? And I asked you that question tonight, what do you believe? You see, you can believe in your head that Jesus died for sinners and rose again. You can believe in your head that it happened. But surely there's got to be more. Otherwise, it just becomes an academic exercise. We study it like we study any time or period of history. And so the Easter account and the biblical record, it is more than just history. It's more than just geography. It is theology. Friday night, why did he have to die? What's it all about? We've seen in recent weeks, Sunday evenings through Ecclesiastes, there's got to be more to life than this. Their hopes and their dreams crushed, died with the death of Jesus. And so as they're on this road, Jesus himself draws near. And whatever road you are treading tonight, not the A470, unless you want to come home with Viv and I, is either a narrow road or a broad road. But whichever road you are walking tonight, this risen Lord Jesus Christ is able to draw alongside. I want you to know that. I want you to be encouraged that this is a God who is alive and well. This is a Saviour who stands in our midst tonight in the power and person of his Spirit. This is a Saviour who longs to be in a relationship with you. He longs for you to enjoy and know that intimacy with him. He longs. That very day. Tonight, and this day is significant, more than because it's Easter Day. It's a day of grace. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of opportunity. And Jesus is very near. They're heading for this village named Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14, look at verse 14 with me. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. All the things that had happened in the lead up, during the Passover, and subsequently culminating on that Sunday morning. They're thinking. We noted this morning that the gospel writers want us to think. The biblical writers want us to think. God wants us to think tonight. They were thinking. They were pondering. They were reflecting on all the things that had happened, on everything that had taken place. And as they were talking, as they were conversing, Jesus himself drew near. So the first point is they missed the point. But the second point is this, that they missed the person. Jesus himself, the risen Lord, had drawn near. Now, we need to understand the day and the culture. It wasn't like today. We all jump in our cars and bomb around here, there, and everywhere, transporting white rabbits with big blue bow ties. And if you weren't here this morning, you need to watch the service. You might understand that reference. But people would walk. People would converse. And so it's not uncommon or unnatural as these two were walking when Jesus drew alongside and joined in the conversation. Imagine if that were to happen today. You're walking down the high street in Newport and you're there talking to your friend or talking to your husband or wife or whatever. And then someone, a complete stranger, just comes alongside and say, well, what are you talking about? You'd say, hang on a minute. Keep your nose out. None of your business. But in this culture, it was acceptable. It was familiar. It was commonplace. Mind you, for two to be walking down the street conversing today, do you know what people do today? Have you watched them? Not just Newport, Merthyr, Swansea, anywhere. Can't live without these, can we? We can't live without this. This will fill your minds with information. A careful study of this will cast your mind to Calvary. A careful reading, prayerful, serious consideration of Scripture by God's grace will open your eyes to your need of a Saviour. The Saviour drew near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus draws near. And so whilst he draws near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Oh, now here we go. What's going on here? What's afoot here? Well, he's risen. At this moment, he's glorified. But it's God's divine work and prerogative that he withholds their eyes from recognizing who he is. Now, it's not often I can share this story, but I can tonight. I have a friend who for many years was an engineer for Ford Motor Company in Atlanta City. And when he reached his 50th birthday, he said to his wife and family, I just sensed the Lord telling me to give up being an engineer for the Ford Motor Company. That God has got a plan for me. And I'll take my pension early and I'll just trust the Lord and I'll do whatever he asks me to do. And his wife and his children, grown-up children, were fully supportive. He talked it through with his pastor and the leaders in the church and they said, yes, no problem. That was okay. He prayed and he prayed. And then one day, he discovered a ministry which is rather unusual. It was a ministry to children, but it would require him to dress up as a clown. Well, can you imagine his pastor's response and the response of the leaders in the church? But he wasn't going to be deterred because he believed this is what God was calling him to do. And so he trained, went through training, and then the Lord took him all over the world, dressed as a clown, sharing the gospel of truth and the gospel of grace to young children. Now, he's done some ministry for me in the valleys. I said to him, hey, listen, you can't come to Park. We've got enough clowns in Park. No. I said, in our culture, they won't get it. Because when you think of a clown, what do you think of? Don't shout out. You think of the circus. And when we think of a clown or the circus, then we don't think that is the right context, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is so precious, it would be demeaning. So I said, I'll take you anywhere in the valleys, I'll take you into any schools, but keep out of Merthyr, where I'm known. And we did. We broke down on a roundabout once in Pontypridd. And I rang for the AA and they said, oh, we'd better an hour. So my friend said, the clown, I know it always works. Hazard lights on. He jumped out, dressed as a clown, directing the traffic. Within minutes, the police arrived. Within a few more minutes, the AA arrived and towed us away. But he was doing some ministry in Lebanon. And the Lord opened a door for him, dressed as a clown, to go beyond levels of security that no one would normally go. Dressed as a clown, and he ended up in Hezbollah headquarters. Dressed as a clown, red wig, big floppy leather shoes. Looks ridiculous, really. And he told me this. He said, every checkpoint we went through, the guards would peer in and their eyes couldn't recognize me. Something, someone, somewhere was withholding something from their view that they could see. And he was in Hezbollah headquarters telling the boys and girls, and they ended up singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Can you imagine? Only a few years ago. That is unheard of. But it happens. Because we can't put our God in a box. And so as Jesus drew near, their eyes were unable to recognize him because of divine intervention. And he said to them, verse 17, well, what's the conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? Good question. I wonder if you're going about your daily chores this week and you're having a chat with someone, then Jesus was to draw near and your eyes aren't able to recognize him. And he asks you the question, oh, what are you talking about? I think many of us would be embarrassed to admit. We sometimes think things and say things and we think, oh, that's okay. No one else really heard. No one else really saw. But Jesus hears. Jesus sees. Jesus knows. What are you talking about? He said. And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said, are you the only visitor? Here's the second question, the three questions. Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? I mean, it's Jesus. They're blind to who he is. They don't recognize him. He is so near. They could reach out and touch him. They could reach out and embrace him. They missed the point and they've missed the person. That's possible for us tonight, that we missed the point and we missed the person. We're counting. Perhaps some of you are counting on church attendance or somehow edge you nearer eternity, edge you nearer heaven. Somehow we'll please a holy God. Nothing that you can do or I can do can edge us nearer heaven or nearer to the presence of a holy God. Only Christ is able to draw us near. No man comes to the Father except through me. He said to them, what things? What things? Look at their response. Their response is quite intriguing. Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Here we have it. Who's this Jesus of Nazareth? A man who was a prophet. They speak in the past tense. A man who was a prophet. Mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped, past tense, that he was the one to redeem Israel. Now, if you go into the Old Testament, the theme and the idea of redemption is there all over the place. I think it's something like 150 references to redemption. Luke 1 and here, to my knowledge, I'm not sure there's any other reference to redemption. It's not usual in Luke's writings. Few occasions in the Acts of the Apostles. But we were hoping that he would redeem Israel. But he missed the point. Because their idea of redeeming Israel was skewed, was warped. They've missed the point. And they've missed the man. We'd hoped. Yes, and besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. And moreover, well, there's more, says Jesus. Oh, yes. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. We were there with them this morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Jesus said, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ that he should suffer these things and enter into his glory? What did Jesus do? He gets in before Rico Tice. He does Christianity Explored. On the road to Emmaus. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, what does he do? He turns them to Scripture. And if you have a friend or a relative or a work colleague or a boss or whoever is interested in the fact that you've been to church today and that you claim to be a Christian and they want to know more, do what Jesus did. Point them, take them to Scripture. In these, they will find life. And so, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, listen, if you're at a loss this week, in the next couple of weeks, and you want something to do, what a great little Bible study. Go into the books of Moses in the Old Testament and the prophets and trace and identify and absorb and read and think and ponder all that was prophesied, all that was spoken of the suffering Christ. You see, they missed the point because they wanted the Messiah to come and to rule and to reign forever and ever. One with authority and power. Well, he's all that and much more besides. But you'll never have a conquering king without a suffering servant. And there's no life apart from death. You see that? That we experience life tonight eternal life because of his death. And the vindication of God in raising his son from the dead. They missed the point, they missed the man, or missed the person. But they didn't miss the opportunity. Look at verse 28. As they drew near to the village to which they were going, he acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. They didn't miss the opportunity. We want to know more. Stay with us. Stay with us. And so it was toward evening, and the day is now far spent, so he went in to stay with them. The risen Savior went in with them, stepped into their home, sat at their table. And this is the amazing thing is, oh, we're not sure how the arrangement came about, but he ended up acting as host. Because the host is the one who breaks the bread. And as he took the bread and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them, then something miraculously happened in verse 31. Their eyes were opened. They recognized him. It's the Lord. And in that moment, he vanished from their sight. They missed the point and they missed the person. They didn't miss the opportunity. Stay with us. And their eyes were opened. But there's still a further opportunity. They didn't just sit there looking at each other thinking, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? What's for supper? No. There's a further opportunity they didn't miss. What's the further opportunity? They started to talk. Did not our hearts burn within us? Whilst he talked and opened to us the scriptures. Does that happen to you? When you hear scripture read, when you read it for yourself, when it's opened up, does it excite you? Should do. This is the very breath of God. Speaking, communicating to me. Almighty God, creator, ruler, sustainer of all things, created the world by the power of his word, speaks to little me. He's interested in me. He's interested in you. You're on his heart. You're on his mind. And you open his word. Oh, I needed that. Or you open his word. Ouch. I really needed that. Do you see the point? May our hearts be strangely warmed within us as we seek him, as we long to know more of him, as we draw near to him and we urge him to draw near to us, that we might know more of him. More about Jesus would I know. More of his saving grace to others show. More, more, more about Jesus. There's a further opportunity. They rose that same hour. They didn't think about it. They didn't say, oh, got to weigh this up now. Got to do the kids' lunch for the morning. 7 miles, 3.5 miles an hour if you walk. If we do power walking, we'll get there a bit quicker. What do you think, love? I don't know. No, they went. The same hour they arose and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And this is what they said. The Lord has risen indeed. He's even appeared to Simon. You're joking. Even Simon. Who denied the Lord. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And in a moment we'll be breaking bread. An indication of your heart tonight and where you stand before Almighty God in the breaking of bread. What does it mean to you? The bread, symbolic, only symbolic. It's an emblem of his body pierced and broken and wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. That's the story of Easter. Gone my transgressions. Now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. We recognized him. He was with us. He ministered to us. He taught us. He showed us things concerning himself in Scripture. It's something that they would never have forgotten. And it was something that they would continue to talk about. Did I ever tell you the time? Oh, not again. Did I ever tell you? Do you remember the time, if you're a Christian tonight, do you remember the time when the Lord drew near to you and he opened your eyes and he taught you through Scripture and you realized it's the Lord? The one who died for me. The one who bore my sin and rebellion. He died for me. He was slain for me. Do you remember the time? And I'll never stop talking about the time. What a day. It was a happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. It was a happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, he drew near to me in a log cabin in the middle of a forest. I was 12. The risen Savior drew near to me. And my eyes were opened. He opened my eyes. And I saw him by faith. And I saw the nail prints by faith. And I saw the cross by faith. And I heard the cries, crucify him, by faith. And I saw the tomb with the stone rolled up against it, concealing the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw it by faith. And then I saw an empty tomb and a Savior who had ascended, a man in the glory, whoever lives to make intercession for me and for his people. I have an advocate with the Father, someone who represents me. So when I sin, I have an advocate. And so God has promised that when we sin, when we confess our sin, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What road are you walking on tonight? I want to encourage you, whether it's a broad road which leads to destruction, tonight as Jesus has drawn near to us in this Easter day evening, the risen Saviour says, come on, I'll take you on another road. A road that will lead to life and joy and everlasting blessedness. Many take the broad road that leads to destruction, will lead to eternal damnation, and will lead to a place called hell. But the Saviour is willing to take us and lead us on a narrow path, on a narrow road that would lead to life and joy and peace and contentment and thrill and ultimately glory. I've only seen him by faith, but one day I'll see him as he is. I shall see him. I shall be like him. We will know him. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Are you victorious tonight? Are you alive in him? Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Saviour? Do you know the risen Christ? If you don't, you can. Call to him. Lord Jesus, save me. Wash me. Forgive me of all my sin. And he'll draw near. And he'll take up residence in your heart and make your heart his home forever and forever. And then you'll be able to say, he's alive. I know he's alive because he's drawn near to me. I've met him. And now I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. We're going to remain seated as we come to the Lord's table. We're going to remain seated and we're going to listen to this lovely hymn and reflect on the words, Man of Sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Saviour.